tape is on.
Okay. I would like to welcome everyone to the February 3rd meeting of the Ulster County Energy and Environment Committee, and that's February 3rd, 2020. And I'd like to welcome our new members and try not to give you too hard a task. We'll call the meeting to order and say the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And just for everybody's sake, since we are a newly reformed committee, we should probably go around and do introductions. And I think everybody here knows me. I'm Manage O'Green. I'm the legislator from District 19.
And I'm Fonte Antillo. I'm the clerk for this committee.
I'm Al Bruno, legislator District 2, which is Saugerties, Malvern Village of Saugerties, and part of Glasgow.
Laura Petit, legislator for District 8, that's Esopus.
Mary Warrow, legislator of Saugerties.
I'm Evelyn Wright. I'm the new deputy county executive that'll be working with environment and economic development, among other things.
Peter Criswell, legislator District 7, which is the city of Kingston.
Charlie Landy, board member of the Ulster County Resource Recovery Agency. At least for tonight.
and treasurer.
And treasurer, that's right, and treasurer. Thank you.
Tim Rose, I'm the executive director of the Resource Recovery Agency.
And I'm Dave Holman. I'm chairman of the Ulster County Environmental Council.
Thank you. And with that, have folks had a chance to look at the minutes of the December 5th meeting? Mm-hmm. I would call for a motion to approve, Mary, and a second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor of approving the minutes of Energy and Environment for December 5th, 2019?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries, and I'll sign it when after it goes around. All right. Let's have an update from the UCRA.
Sure. Do you want me to do it from here, or do you want me to go up to the table? What would you prefer?
Can everyone hear Tim, or?
Do you want me to stand up? It's better for my knee if I stand up.
Okay. Is it good?
Okay. Whatever you're comfortable with, man.
I had surgery done. Walking my dog, I slipped and tore a muscle. All right, the resource recovery. We have the probably the biggest thing to discuss is the local solid waste management plan, which has been written. It was out for public comment. The engineering firm Cornerstone, writing the draft and eventually the final, is addressing those comments. They've answered the comments in the way that they believe should be answered. However, the board of directors obviously has the ultimate say. They're the policy-making branch. So, Charlie and four others will be reviewing those comments and let me know if they're okay, if they want the comments changed and so forth, which Cornerstone will do. And that's at the point we're at right now. Once the board of directors is okay with the comments, it'll go back to DEC. DEC will then look at the comments and make sure we address them appropriately. And then we'll send us, if they're okay, they'll send us an approvable letter, which basically means that the process is virtually done. The only piece of the puzzle left to do, and then for it to go to the legislature to be ratified. So that's a 10-year plan.
Is there like bullets available, you know, sort of like the plan in a nutshell kind of thing or something?
We don't have bullets per se, but I know it's on the EE website, right? Isn't it on for the environmental committee?
I'm not sure which
posted.
The draft we have, I don't believe, has the comments that Cornerstone answered.
No, those aren't public yet.
Okay.
The reason it's not public is because they're not the spokespeople for the agency. they've addressed the comments the way they felt that they should be addressed, but they're, again, they're not disposed to that. We don't want to release them yet. People think that's the agency's standpoint, which is not. It's not the agency's standpoint until the five board members say it is. This is the.
So will we get a copy of that when it goes to the DEC, what you're sending to DEC? Or
It'll be sent to DEC, and then what they asked, I think it was one of our board members asked that it be included with the draft plan. Be actually incorporated as an appendix. So. What else? That's the big thing.
Do you know if those comments, it seems to me the comments might have been sent to the Solid Waste Management, Solid Waste Planning Commission? Do you know if they were?
What Cornerstone's answer?
Yeah.
Not that I'm aware
no.
of.
No,
not that I'm aware of.
Okay, you would.
Yeah. Not that I'm aware of.
And I hope they would not do that because the
they should go to the board.
Yeah, that's that wouldn't be appropriate.
Got it.
Because the Solid Waste Management Planning Commission, they're not the spokespeople for the agency. The board of directors is.
Right.
So we don't want to get confused in public think that this is the actual official stance of the agency when it's not. It's just the consultant's thoughts. So
just to explain, because there are a few new people, last year the legislature created a Solid Waste Planning Commission that has three majority representatives, three minority representatives, and three representatives from the agency and the chairperson. And the purpose was to be in communication as the plan was developed, and I think we were. There was one set of sort of consensus recommendations that went to the agency and to Cornerstone, to the consultants. And so Tim has outlined the next steps. The other thing I want to add is that three agencies, well, Tim wasn't able to take it because of his injury, but two agency staff, two legislators, myself and Legislator Petit, and three agency board members took a zero waste training, a fairly extensive zero waste training in Albany with Zero Waste USA just around the holidays, and are now working in an informal working group to try to develop a zero waste management plan as a complement to the local solid waste management plan that is in development and going through its process. I think John Wackman from Repair Cafe is offering to help, and also Margot Becker, who has a lot of experience in solid waste and is on the EMC. Is the vice chair, I think? Yeah. Took the training, and we're using the zero waste management training protocol and also the EPA recommendations for approaching zero waste. So we may end up being the first county that has, at least in New York State, that has a zero waste plan as we go through this. And the cooperation, I'm very reassured that we're really going to include a strong component to divert as much waste as possible. So, you know, I know there are people that are new here and may have heard horror stories from 20 years ago, especially if you were from Saugerties.
I'm just smiling. I think our buddy Charlie likes that.
It's not the same RRA.
What I've been hearing mostly is the conversation about, do we build a landfill here, or is it this coordinated effort between three counties and all that? So I guess that's
still on the table, okay. Very much so. Okay. it is discussed. Regionalization is discussed in the plan, and there's not a definite determination, but there's sort of the pros and cons are outlined in the plan, and there is a PowerPoint that kind of summarizes it, but you know, it's worth reading quickly. It's I think
I have a lot of information. If you want to, I can forward some of the past things we've done to you.
And also, too, for the two members, Al and Peter, if you want to tour the eight, so you give me a call.
Okay,
great.
I'll send you. I'll make myself available whenever you guys want. And come on over, and we'll walk around and show you what we do.
Cool.
That's a good idea.
That's a really good idea.
Charlie will take them around until you.
Before we leave, change numbers before we leave. Yeah.
You should also go down and see what Laura's doing.
Jeez, I was expecting to see a guy by the name of Al Shaw here. Just kidding.
Laura's got a huge diversion program that she runs. In
zero waste program, we hit 83%.
Wow.
I mean, it's huge because we've taken a lot of brush, but you know, still.
I'm sorry.
Our program, too. You know, if you want to come down to New Paltz to see our program. So we do real materials management. So everything that comes in, we look at to see if it's got a value. Mm-hmm. It made a big difference in the waste we were taking in.
Mm-hmm. And in that regard, on February 18th, the people that I just mentioned are working with SUNY New Paltz. Judith Enk is going to do a presentation on Beyond Plastics at 5 o'clock, and the students are going to present their plastics research at 6. But prior to that, Laura's offered to do, Legislator Petit has offered to do a tour of the reuse and recycling facility in New Paltz.
It's 18th at 1 o'clock. It is, yeah. We should.
I think
we'll
it's at 2.
Out of your own time, though.
Yeah. And then at 3, we're going to do a tour of Peregrine Dining Hall at SUNY New Paltz, where they literally are achieving very close to zero waste because they're already composting and they've redesigned the dining hall with smaller plates so people don't pile food up and then scrape it. They can go back for seconds or thirds, but and then they have reusable takeout boxes that when the student comes back for the next meal, they return the takeout box and they get a clean one and they can take food out. And we were there last time a week after the semester started, and the system was working perfectly. Mm-hmm. Within 1 week, the students had adjusted. We looked in the collection container that they were scraping their plates. There was nothing in there that couldn't be composted. In the back, they are composting all the prep, and then the rest goes into the garbage. But it's reduced their
and they donate to the food recovery program too.
Yeah. And it's really a model program. And then we're going to have a program about zero waste and about Ulster County's environmental laws, and followed by Judith Enk and so forth. But that would be a good time to take a tour of the reuse and recycling facility in New Paltz. So anything else on by way of a UCR update?
I do. As a matter of fact, I have something out, and you mentioned my title as treasurer. There is something that I want to mention that happened just recently.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
We were awarded 3 state awards for the Certificate of Achievement in the highest form of recognition in governmental accounting. And one was the CAFA, Comprehensive Annual Financial Report, a state report, and the other, 2 others. One, AFRA, which is the Award of Financial Reporting, and GFOA, Governmental Finance Officers Association. And I have a copy for you if you want a copy of it, so you have it for your record. But
that's beautiful.
What's highlighted here is what the awards are, and I put their names up here, and then you can see what you've got there. But I think you should have that.
Okay.
Now, I'm not taking credit for that, because we have a very effective controller's office, and that would be Tim DeGraff. And Amy Lopiano, she's part of that, right?
Yep.
And they and they really did the nuts and bolts work here. I'm just presenting it to you.
Great, thank you.
Should pass it around, and then I'll just copy it for the minutes. And
welcome. everybody Dave. Knows Dave Gordon, I think. Okay, so the next topic is the resolutions. And resolution number 13 and 14, I'd like to discuss these together, so I'm not going to ask for a motion just yet. Resolution 13 and 14 are both about the appointments to the Resource Recovery Agency. And let me just take a step backwards as best I can explain it. The legislature gets to appoint the board members. And there's a formula of how many majority appointments there can be and how many minority appointments. But the tricky thing is that the Republicans could be the majority when somebody's appointed, and the Democrats could be the majority when they're up for reappointment. And I've watched this process even before I was in the legislature and all the time in the legislature, and I think we all get pretty confused every year because of how it was worded. I wouldn't worry too much about it. My only concern right now is that for Resolution 13 and 14, the Resolution 13 specifies a vacancy due to the expired term of Charles Landy, and recommends, the chairman recommends, in consultation with the minority leader. Resolution number 14, to fill the vacancy created by the expired term of Catherine Bynekaffner, does not specify minority or majority. And we've been trying to sort that out. I just want to do it right. I also want to ask if there's any reason, because this is essentially a personnel issue, does anyone feel the need to go into executive session on these appointments? And I think we can do that before we move them.
Personally, I might be out of line here, but personally, I think politics should play, and it should be their qualifications. And I don't, is there anybody else running in for these spots but these two people?
Not that I know of.
So then it's a moot point.
We didn't really have, I hate to say we didn't have enough time, but I think our because of outreach, anyone else who was interested just didn't have the time to apply and to look in to make sure of eligibility.
Yeah.
So no one else has applied.
Mary, do you know of anyone else? Okay.
And these are both reappointments, right?
The reappointments.
Both already on the board to begin with. So.
Okay.
I personally don't see any issue.
If that's the case, my only concern, and maybe check with counsel, one of these says minority and the other doesn't. We could amend it to say majority. I don't know if it was or is majority. Or we could just, act on them as they are.
Jeez. Well, Kathy was appointed last year, right?
Right.
So the majority hasn't changed.
Um, And what, was she just appointed for a year? It was a one-year appointment?
For an unfilled term.
She took
to fill your vacancy.
Right.
Yeah. And yours was a majority appointment?
Yes. Actually, mine was a fight. I remember, I didn't participate in the appointment, obviously, but there was an issue over it. Anybody who was in the legislature back then would remember that.
I can tell you what that was. If you want to know.
Yeah, I want this to be right, if we can.
Since it says in our Enabling Act that the majority gets four appointments, the majority gets four appointments and the minority gets one appointment. The reason that was put in when the agency was created in the late 80s was because they believed at the time that they wanted the board of directors to reflect the legislative body. At that time, there was 27 or so Republicans and there was five or six Democrats. So they chose four majority appointments and one minority. Now, since the agency was created, we have seat numbers for the board members. That's how we do it in the agency. And seat number four was always the minority's appointment. And for 25 years, whenever seat four came up, whoever was in the minority got that seat. And it was automatic. They got whoever they wanted to appoint into that seat four. When Dave came on board, there was some tension about whether you should keep your seat four. Maybe we should change the seat, and then it went on, and that's how it got changed. But that was the genesis behind it.
That would actually make sense to keep it like that, then.
And seat four was Charlie, just so you know.
Well, just for your information, how I got to the board was when John Parody had this seat originally, and when John was elected to the legislature, he called me and asked me if I was interested, because he and I had worked back in the 50s, back in the 70s, for the county. He was the auditor and I was the Department of Public Buildings and Grounds superintendent. So John asked me if I would be interested, and I said yes, and I took his empty seat. Of course it came to the legislature and they voted on it. And that's how I came on board, and since then I'm going in this will be my fourth term, right? Three-year terms. I came on in 2012.
Yeah, when John went to the legislature, yeah.
That's when he left, yeah. So just for your information.
I know it has been. I have heard legislators talk about they wanted the Enabling Act changed now to better reflect the legislature is going to split. So to make it a 3-2 instead of a 4-1. But that what that would take, though, because it's an Enabling Act, that would take an act by this body to request the state legislature to change our Enabling Act.
Well, personally, I think it should just be five members. It shouldn't matter what party you're in.
Yeah.
It should be qualifications, not political party.
Mm-hmm. But even to do that, which I tend to agree, we'd still have to go through.
Maybe so, but I'm just saying that's
Kevin Cahill and John Metzger.
If that's what we need to do, then that's what we need to do.
We'll make a note of that.
That's another time, right. But for tonight, there's nobody else on the thing, so it's all a moot point.
Yeah.
The obvious problem is if the majority and the minority change, you know, if there's an election and that changes, then I think because obviously, let's suppose, for example, the majority would get some appointments, and then the minority appointment was not up yet, and then one year the majority would go into the minority, and then they get the appointment again, and so the whole point was to have split authority. And then you see the one party, essentially it's going to the minority, or the other way around, getting more appointments. And I think what we're hearing is that way back when this was first written, it was so one-sided that was not an issue. But obviously what we're seeing now is that it's very close. I mean, you know, any election could flip that, depending on, you know, obviously where there's a one-vote difference. And so, you know, in terms of the stability and the fairness of it, I think it's something that should be thought about as to how we want to handle that. And just a thought. I mean, obviously this is up to the legislature, but I think we may have a problem going forward in that. And I always thought that was the argument over my appointment. I didn't know all the details that Tim did. I hadn't really been involved with the RA at that point, but I thought it was, again, a sort of a change in majority to minority. And so the people that didn't have the appointment 1 year were expecting it, and then all of a sudden it gets taken away because of that. So I would just... this is not something for us to decide tonight, obviously, but that's the background of it, and you may want to change that mechanism.
And so, for the record, these members continue to serve until you appoint someone to fill their seats?
Yeah.
So there's no time sensitivity. It's not like they're going to lose two board members at a critical point.
Yeah, that's huge.
And it's spelled out in our Neighborly Act as well.
It does.
So did you want to move forward with it, or do you want to postpone and have your questions answered?
I want to do the whatever the pleasure of the...
At this point, you've taken no action. No one's moved it or seconded it, so no action has been taken, and it could just stay that way.
But nothing's moved or seconded, but are we... Are we going to act individually?
I will call for motions, but I...
Separately, or...
But before I do, I just wanted to get a sense of where we want to go.
I feel the same way as Al in terms of...
It's a moot point right now. I think as a legislator, as a legislature, as a group, we need to address the issue going forward.
Yeah.
I think as of right now, for a couple of reasons. One, we have no other applicants, and they're already... there. And I think that it's kind of a moot point. I mean,
plus the qualifications.
I think the qualifications is moving forward, again, not addressing the state, but going forward, I personally would love to see the politics taken out of it and let it see that as a legislature as a whole appoints five people and then let that work based on qualifications, not on political party. I'd like, that would be a motion that I would bring forward to the legislature if I could later on. But
anybody have any other comments? If not, I will entertain a motion. I don't want to block them. I think we should do them one at a time.
I'll make a motion that we accept Charlie's application
as
on file.
Resolution number 13.
13. Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Just for the record,
Thank
I want to be clear that you moved Resolution 13 and you were amending it to add the name of Charles Landy.
Because correct. all the resolution says is to fill the vacancies expired from the expired term of Charlie Landy. But then it says resolved that the appointment of the individual as set forth above, which
is to be determined.
The TBD.
Someone needs
to amend.
So you just moved the resolution for discussion.
Right.
Bruno and Waro. And now someone needs to amend it to replace the to be determined with Charles Landy.
I'll amend it to have the name Charles Landy.
I'll second it.
Okay. All in favor of the amendment?
Aye.
All in favor of the resolution as amended?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Resolution number 13 carries.
As amended.
As amended.
As amended. And now we know how to do resolution number 14. I will entertain a motion on resolution number 14, confirming.
I'll make that motion.
Okay.
I'll second it.
For discussion.
Peter seconds. Okay. And let's go in and entertain an amendment where it says TBD, whereas the chairman of the legislature has appointed the following individual to the Ulster County Resource Recovery Agency for the term indicated, which is through December 31st, 2022.
I'll make a motion that we put the name Catherine J. Binkhoffner.
Binkhoffner, yeah. Thank you.
I'm close.
That's a great try. That's a hard name.
And the second was second. Laura.
Laura. And all in favor of the amendment?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The amendment passes. All in favor of the resolution confirming the appointment of Catherine Binkhoffner to the UCRA for the term as previously stated? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Motion carries. All right.
I would like to see the monthly tonnage leachate reports. They're provided at the UCRA board meeting, but could they be sent electronically?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yep.
Card on you? I do.
And and you have a recycling oversight committee meeting scheduled
coming up on the 10th. I mean, is that, I think at some point it would be nice to collaborate with either the Solid Waste Commission and or, you know, just to get together as a larger group.
Sure. I think a good time to do that would be, let me back up and say that we do need to reappoint the Solid Waste Planning Commission. No?
I believe they were appointed for 3-year term.
Yes.
I'm mixing up my committees. Solid Waste Planning. Yes, you'll have to be reappointed.
And so we'll be prepared to do that in February, because the planning process isn't complete. The plan been signed, sealed, and delivered, but to get that all done last year was going to be very difficult.
And so I believe that can just be done with a letter from the chairman.
Okay. So we're planning to reinstate that committee, but there are some appointments that have to change. So I think it's remind me whose appointment needs to
There's a industrial person needs to be appointed, someone from, let me go grab my list and I'll tell you exactly.
Is there that and at large, and the supervisor that's appointed hasn't been coming to the meetings. Neil Bedez is interested, but Tez out of New Paltz. Currently it is one of the parodies, but he hasn't been to the last 4 or 5 meetings.
I'm going to let you, if you would, please take the lead on that. I was actually talking about the Solid Waste
Planning Commission.
Not all those legislative members are still intact.
Right.
The agency board is intact, but
There's only one person who's not here who was on it before.
Yeah.
Kathy Nolan.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So we're going to need someone to replace Kathy Nolan, and the way that commission is structured, it's 3 Republicans and 3 Democrats, so we'll need a Democrat, and I'll talk to the chairman about that so that we can continue to meet during the planning process until the plan is complete. And you'll take care of the recycling oversight, but I just wanted people to know that you had a meeting coming up.
Yes, the 10th at 5 o'clock.
Okay. Anything else related to agency waste, zero waste, food waste? Do you have any updates at all, Evelyn, that you would like to share?
Amanda and I have been talking about writing the regulation to implement the composting law. Don't have a draft to share yet, but we're working on it.
And know that the staff at the UCRA is already working on, as far as I understood, generic language for advising businesses and educating businesses about food waste composting. Each hauler will be responsible for communicating the specifics of the composting processing company that receives the material. And there are some fine variations, but whatever can be said generically, I think the agency is already working on.
And Evelyn, if you want to tour the facility too, give me a call.
Yeah, I'd like that. That'd be great. And that goes into effect in July.
And hopefully by then, you know, the businesses will have a pretty good idea of how to proceed, and we'll have had a chance to showcase the examples of the businesses in Ulster County that are already doing it and doing it very well.
I should, can I just say one thing?
Sure.
I should mention too that we purchased last year, 2 years ago, we purchased some additional land next door to us. We purchased a 24-acre parcel and a 52-acre parcel. We now have about 115 acres or so. One of the things that we're moving forward with is expansion of the compost. Right now, we're really at our limit, a permit limit, and operationally for accepting food waste. With this new legislation coming in, we want to make sure that we have enough capacity to be able to service the community. So right now, it's in the engineering phase. Matter of fact, I was on the phone today with the consultants that are taking care of that. They had some questions of which way I wanted to go. So
are you using the same firm, O2, or...?
No, we're using Barton LaJudas.
Okay.
So, because they're also looking at possibly, well, I can tell you the whole thing. Some of the board members had different ideas. We tried to incorporate all of them into a site plan. That's a compost expansion area. It's a new administration building because there's a couple of board members that would like our current administration building turned into an educational center for kids. And we're looking at doing a residential drop-off. Right now, we can't accept any passenger cars during the day. It's against our permit, and as a person running the facility, I don't want people in there that don't understand solid waste. All they would have to do is step back 2 or 3 steps, and they're run over by a 60,000-pound machine. So there's safety concerns there. So my hope was to build maybe a residential drop-off center right at the beginning of the facility before they enter where it becomes dangerous, keep them away from that area. So if somebody's got one bag of garbage that comes in, they can drop it off there. They can drop off their recycling. That's like a town drop-off center.
A couple of dumpsters.
Yeah, you know, like a town drop-off center. Because we do get a lot of people that come in, and I hate turning people away. They get angry. You know, I've got this one bag of garbage. You're a garbage facility. Why can't you take it? I said, look, first of all, buddy, if you come in and you get rid of it, and the DEC inspector comes in, I'm open up to fines or a violation of our permit. But more importantly, I don't want anybody getting hurt.
And that's why it was stopped before. I think 2 or 3 people fell off the scale or drove off the scale, and it was too much of a liability for $1.80.
Right.
So
if we can just do it just like a municipal drop-off, like the Laura has.
You'd be surprised they still do it.
And also, too, we thought maybe people could drop off food waste, you know, residential, and I would combine that with, we currently collect e-waste at the office. It's kind of a pain in the neck, but if I had that with the...
You wouldn't have to go out and do it yourself.
Yeah, I go out all the time, although yeah. I'm somewhat limited. But and then we'd also have possibly what I would like to do, but it would be might cost a little bit of money. We have to look into is maybe a full time HHW. Right now we hold 3 household hazardous waste.
Oh.
Right now we hold 3 events a year, April, July, April and October. We hold at our facility near the Rhinecliff Bridge. And we hold it at the DEC headquarters in New Paltz. We hold it a July event to take all sorts of household hazardous waste items for the public. But we'll get 300-400 cars in at a shot. Other county solid waste departments, as well as some authorities, like we're set up, do have full-time HHW where they have one person there that's collecting HHW all day, which I think would be great. Probably might be a little costly. We've got to look at the cost, but... Right now, these are ideas that we're going to put on paper to see how they pan out. Sort of look at traffic flow and those sort of things. So that's the whole gambit.
So it's like a redesign of the whole spot, kind of.
Well, it's not a redesign. It's the new property we purchased. It would be these buildings we built on the new property as you enter the facility.
As you come down the road and make the left in your administration building that is there now.
Right.
You're talking to the right of that, facing it?
Actually, all the way down, that used to be a right-of-way. We never owned that property.
Oh.
All the way down to where the administration building is now, that's where our property started. So we purchased the front area where that first road is, on either side of the road. That was 52 acres. And then there's a 24-acre piece that borders the fire training center down to Ulster Landing Road.
Oh.
We never owned that. So whether or not all this will come to fruition, I don't know. I can tell you, and I usually... refrain from speaking publicly unless I really know what the board wants, but I think I'm pretty confident. Please correct me if I'm wrong.
I got my back.
I think the compost is a definite. I think all 5 board members are on board with the compost expansion. I mean, do you feel the same way?
Yes, I do.
I think that's going to go through. I don't see any of the board members saying no to that.
Yeah.
I don't know about the administration building, the residential drop-off. gone through it. Everybody has different ideas. I know there's a couple that really want the educational center. It's really important to them. We'll see how it pans out. And I wasn't sure, you know, before coming tonight, I wasn't sure if we were going to get new board members and which direction they were, you know, whoever these people might go. But now, if I can just say one thing, too, and then I'll take off, because I know you have a lot of work to do. I usually never talk about board appointments. It wouldn't be appropriate of me as executive director to talk about that. But I will tell you this. The two people that you're going to reappoint are very competent. They're excellent on the board. I'm happy. I think they're both really good people. And also, from my standpoint, the stability is really important. Having board members change every year, if we start to go in one direction, then we go to a different direction, So having that stability really,
thank you,
really helps. So
I'd like to say something about that. I want to take a minute, if I may, Madam Chairman. Bill Rabia is the executive director of a very successful resource recovery agency operation in Oneida and Herkimer County. And if you ask him about his success and what he attributes his success to, he'll tell you that his board members, most of them, are on for 20 years. Am I right about that?
They have 5-year appointments in that authority, and a lot of them have been on for 2 and 3, and I think in one case, I think 4 appointments. 10, 15 years. So in solid waste industry, you got to look 10 years down the road, 15 years down the road. So when you have that stability and you can get things done, it makes things easier.
We toured the Oneida Herkimer facility. I've been there twice, and I got to tell you, they have that act together.
They set up at least 5 tours.
And you've been there. They have it together. At some point in time, we would like to have the same performance right here.
And if you would like, if you'd like a tour of Oneida Herkimer, let me know. They run a landfill. Their authority does. I can make the phone call. Bill will be happy to give you a tour. I know he will. I sit on the statewide board of directors for the New York State Association for Solid Waste Management. You and I sit on the board together. And so I'll give Bill a call. And he'd be happy to give you. We could shoot up in one of the agency cars. I can give you. And that's open to you as well.
When you do that tour, because of your injury, if you want me to help you with it, give me a call and I'll be there.
They'll carry you.
Okay?
Thank you.
We'll get your wheels.
Yeah, so hopefully we'll heal. It's only 6 months to here.
Yikes.
Yeah, the whole muscle ripped off.
That hurts just listening to you talk about it.
Yeah, I heard a snap and then my leg was out of my noodle. But I'm on the meds.
Thank you.
Oh, Charlie was kind enough to come up to my house and pick me up and throw me in the back seat of the car, take me to a board meeting.
I didn't go up alone. Fred Wadnola, the chairman of the board, went up with me.
He said, "Tim, you got no choice. You come to a board meeting. I don't care if you're sweatpants or not."
I'm just going to go out for 1 minute.
Any more questions for me?
I'll be really going out with him for 1 minute.
Okay.
No? Okay. Any questions for me, Madam?
I'm good. I'm good. Thank you.
Thank you. You all have a good night.
Take care. Thank you.
Good to meet you. Bye, Dave.
Madam Chair, I will have to leave at 1:15. It's my grandson's birthday, and we have cake.
Oh, yes. And I know about
that. I didn't know her.
I think we can get through this fairly quickly. I do have a question about resolution. Before I entertain a motion, I have a question about resolution number 15. We have 2 appointments to make. One is Jim DeLon, and the other is TBD, and we don't have any applications.
It would have to be, I believe it's a legislator.
Oh, that's another legislator?
Yes.
Oh, dear.
It was Kathy and Jim last year.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
The Soil and Water meets in the mornings for half the year and in the afternoons for half a year. They meet in New Paltz, right on 299, just outside New Paltz in the town of Lloyd, by Lowe's department stores where their offices are.
Do they have a new director yet?
Yes. He was here last year. Got his name written down, but I don't remember it off the top of my head.
Has the county executive made any recommendations?
It's a legislative appointment.
It's a legislative appointment?
Yeah, no.
From the whole body, or not just from us?
It can be anybody on the legislature. It has to be a legislator.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be.
Legislator
right,
has to
we,
accept
yeah,
that,
yeah.
too.
Right.
Yeah. So it's kind
but
of
But it's not an executive appointment, okay. So we wouldn't consult him generally.
So does that have to go before session to make that?
You could amend it the night of session if you want to talk to your caucuses.
Ryan, do that.
Who'd like to be on it?
I mean, we will find
so
out from them.
Then
I have somebody in mind off the top of my head, but I don't know that she would want it.
Well, you could pass it, and it can go through with just Mr. DeLon, with Legislator DeLon, and we could do another resolution if there's no one jumps, you know, don't everybody get plus. But if, you know, it can be amended the night of session also.
What I'd like to do, if everyone is comfortable with this, is pass it with the TBD, try to fill it the night of session, and if not, amend it the night of session to just be Legislator DeLon and then pick it up the following month.
That sounds good.
Yep.
Makes sense.
Okay. I will entertain
a
motion. Legislator Petit. Second, Legislator Waro. This is resolution number 15, appointing and reappointing. In this case, yes, it'll be appointing and reappointing members to the Solid Waste Conservation District Board. And the resolved in this case is to reappoint Legislator James DeLon. And a second appointment, TBD, and we will try to fill that.
I'm going
to
make a correction. You said the Solid Waste Board. It's the Soil
and Water.
I did. I have Solid Waste on my mind tonight. I had Solid Waste for breakfast, literally, and again this evening. So thank you for the correction. Soil and Water Conservation District. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Motion carries. And we're on to the next, which is resolution number 40, amending the capital project number 519, Ulster County Law Enforcement Center, energy upgrades. Amending the capital budget, the capital fund budget, Department of Public Works, Buildings and Grounds. And any questions or...
Should we move it to the floor first and then discuss?
Move for discussion?
Yes, please. This time we should.
Second.
Okay. For purposes of discussion.
Yeah, actually, we're putting more money into it, and it's getting close to $600,000 now.
The question I have is exactly: are we talking about the building that's on off of Hurley Avenue?
No.
The law enforcement centers.
Law enforcement office.
Law enforcement. So,
Route 32.
I thought it was the Department of Public Works.
They're buildings and grounds.
Yeah.
They're the ones who do the work. This is part of their budget.
Okay, so we're talking about the law enforcement center.
Yep.
The law enforcement center that cost the taxpayers how many millions of dollars?
That one.
We're dumping how many more millions into it now?
That the boilers need to be replaced.
And it's also
they approved that last year.
Yeah, this is really about the natural gas piping.
Well, if it's just for the gas piping, then that's has this been gone to bid already? Or it has to be approved first before it goes out to bid. I'm just curious as to that number.
It doesn't look like it.
I don't have the answer to off the top of my head. What this is this is a part of a multi-part project to replace that boiler and to replace it with a gas boiler, which will be much cheaper to operate over time.
Right.
So Central Hudson has run the gas line to the meter. This is the piping from the meter into the actual boiler.
Right. Well, I understand that part, and I'm saying that the cost is $281,000 to run that natural gas pipeline in. My question is is that $281,000 the price from Central Hudson to do the work, or has that got to be contracted out and it has to go out to bid? So that number could change, it could go up, it could go down. I don't want to pass a resolution basically open-ended.
I don't have the resolution text in front of me.
There it is.
Oh, thank you.
What happened?
And the backup is attached to that.
Am I making any sense?
Yeah, it's my understanding that they have not bid it, but they want to amend the fund.
Okay.
To
so my question is, if they have no bids, or I don't really use the word estimates, how do they come up with that $300,000?
I think this is just the $108,000 for this line.
Amended capital project number 519 to include funds for a flex tech study in the amount of $31,000, bringing the total project cost to $281,000.
The flex tech study has already happened.
Okay. So this is being done after the fact?
This is a piece of this ongoing project.
You brought up a question.
Pieces at a time, right?
We do, yeah. But you brought up a question when I was on Public Works last year that continues to bother me, is that we put the price in there and then go out for bid.
That's what I don't
like. So you've already shown all your cards.
Exactly.
Instead of authorizing the county to go out to bid and then waiting to
put
see
the cart before the horse.
Right. And then we also got to bond for it, too.
But I see a bid price return form here from Southeastern Plumbing Corporation. So there is a bid in here.
Yeah,
do you see the bid? It's on page...
Yeah. It's in your backup.
Yeah, I don't know what the page is here, but...
It's 14.
Well, that was my question. Is there an actual bid?
So yeah, you can see it right there.
We have a bid installed of $97,790, correct?
That's what I'm looking at.
Okay, so in the initial part of what I'm reading here, see that 97.
So that's the 97 with the 10% contingency on it.
Okay.
That's
why we ask questions, because I'm looking at six figures all across the board here, and none of it seems to.
If you keep scrolling down, you should have all this backup in there.
And it used to be that we went to Public Works before Energy and Environment, so I knew the answer.
There it is on the bottom. So we had.
Yeah, if you keep scrolling down, all of this information.
I got you. I'll learn it. But
that's all right. It's your
21.
But the question. Yeah, I saw that there. Is there any other bids? There's just one bid?
Well, that's probably the winning bid. They're probably not going to show you all the bids.
Okay. I don't know. I apologize, and maybe it's just because
don't apologize
because I'm new. And but my thing is, resolution number 40 in front of me, amending the capital project 519. Whereas I'm seeing 281, 523, 242, all these way into the six figure numbers, and then all the way down it says it's $97,000, and I'm a little confused by that. I mean, are we signing? What are we actually signing? Are we signing? If we pass a resolution, are we passing a resolution for $108,000, or are we passing a resolution for $523,000?
No, it's amending the capital project, which already exists. And so this is in addition to that capital project.
So this gas line is only $108,000. The whole project is the whole project, including the boilers and all the work that goes to it, is the total cost of the 523. Is that right? So I want to make an understanding. I mean, that's all.
I will. The total capital project was estimated to be $1,510,000, and then you have to approve each time you're spending the money to get to that number.
Okay. And
they're going to be heat pumps. The gas is backup. At least that was my understanding.
So it shows each year what they expect to spend toward this capital project. In 2020, they expect to spend $1 million.
And if it helps, but the Ways and Means is working on the capital plan, the five-year plan, where you actually see the amount allocated and approved by the legislature, but then almost it'll be like a drawdown. So you'll physically be able to see what money's taking from where, because, I mean, it is confusing, especially if the resolutions aren't attached. So if resolution 100 isn't attached for that 272, you don't have all the backup information.
And that's why
we're hoping to at least have a summary sheet, and it does get really confusing.
I want to make sure I'm clear about understanding this. So this whole project to replace the boilers at the new center that we, $20 million we spent, because they're old now apparently, and they're going to cost us another $1.5 million.
Yeah.
Correct?
Mm-hmm.
And they never ran a gas line to that building?
They have now. Central Hudson ran us the line last year.
But not to the building, just up to the property.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
But that still was, yeah, it was a bargain because they were already
in
that.
There.
If we had to pay for it to come all the way, you know.
And if we hadn't done it when we did, if we opted to put in the backup later on, it would all have been.
Oh, no, I understand that. No,
I guess they're actually doing the road now.
I'm not questioning that. I guess I'm looking at the whole project. I come from the heating business. That's my background is heating and energy efficiency and stuff and putting boilers in and doing the work, and that's why I'm just like.
And I had very serious concerns about
using fossil fuel.
More gas infrastructure.
They're not burning four oil, so I'll give them that. <You know?
laughs> I really wanted them to go directly to geothermal.
Geothermal is electric.
It is electric, and it can be provided by solar with battery backup.
Yep.
But, we look carefully at this project, and Amanda provided very good information.
A gas line to the building makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah.
No argument here. I'm not questioning that.
By the time this goes to Public Works, I want to just be sure that this is not primary, that the air source heat pumps are primary. And that's my recollection as well. So just if we can get clarification for Public Works. Are you on Public Works again?
I'm all for this. I mean, either way, we need a gas line in that building. The gas line should have been brought in that building many years ago, but it's not there. But
yeah,
if that's all this resolution is for, to get the gas line in, then that's a piece of it. What it's connected to later on is another story.
Yeah. In general, $1 million into extending fossil fuel, I have a problem with, but
I get it.
But in specific, this made sense. I was convinced that this made sense. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Laura.
Good night.
So, just to move this along, and I will say that there are many times that we're amending the budget before they bid it out. So that question still remains in terms of process. My understanding was they have to put the money into the capital budget so they can bid it out. The engineers to estimate what that cost.
My concerns are, it's like.
But in this case, they did bid it out.
As she said, you're showing your hand beforehand.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen that done actually recently, very, very recently.
Are you on Public Works?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right. Well,
nope.
I'll struggle through and try to get clarification.
Okay. I don't think I'm asking.
I think they're good questions.
Do we want to go ahead, though, and
if it's just for the gas line to go in, then I'm okay with it, if that's what it's saying.
Okay.
I'm not all in tune with all the legal S's and the whereases and the wherefores, but if that's what we're saying here, that we're only voting on that $100,000, $108,000 to bring the gas line to the building, and if that's what it is, then I'm a yes.
Okay. So I'm going to call the question on resolution number 40. amending capital project number 519, amending the 2020 capital budget for Ulster County Law Enforcement Center energy upgrades, not solid waste. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The motion carries. And I think the others are resolution number 56, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute a payment in lieu of taxes, my favorite resolutions, with Marlboro Solar for solar energy system pursuant to real property tax law, section 487. And, do I hear a motion? Mary and
second.
Peter. Just a bit of background. The solar companies that are developing community solar projects are exempt from paying taxes. This is essentially, it's called a pilot, but it's a reverse pilot where they are exempt for, I think it's 10 years. And correct me if I'm off.
15.
Thank you. NYSERDA has recommended that because they're using community services, that they voluntarily agree to a pilot agreement to pay taxes. And typically, pilots, you're getting relieved of taxes. They're voluntary. And I just want to be sure, since there are new people in the room. So, given that, we have a motion and a second. Are there any questions on resolution number 56?
I see that the pilot, it increases every year with the amount of energy output. Is that what it is?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. And that sort of eases them back into paying taxes.
Uh-huh. And what happens at year 16?
The exemption goes away.
It just goes away.
So this sunsets, essentially.
Right.
Okay. All in favor of resolution number 56?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Motion carries. And you'll have to bear with me a quick story, but we cleaned up, and we have two people from Saugerties here. When I worked for the RRA, we held a collaborative process that got the Quarryville tire pile mountain cleaned up. 600,000 tires were removed. It was beautifully landscaped. The sportsman ended up annexing the property, and it was a wonderful story. And a few months ago, I'm sitting in a meeting, and I see a pilot for a solar system in Quarryville, and I said, is that the same property? So that was like the icing on the cake in terms of good news stories.
Yeah, full circle.
Yeah.
I think they're putting a tower up there, too.
All right, and resolution number 79, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county Creighton Manning Engineering, Department of Environment, and this is transit electrification study. So, any questions about
by Worrell?
I'm
moving it.
You're moving it, and Peter second.
Yep.
All right. Again, you know, I think this is very worthwhile. Beneficial electrification has to be matched with what we just passed, and that is renewable energy infrastructure. And I almost want to require that they include storage, but we do have the glide path,
mm-hmm.
and I understand glide path is doing another project in New Windsor and has a third project that they're considering, so there is storage coming on board, and two or three years ago that was barely on the, you know, felt barely on the horizon. So I think we're really making progress. All right, we have a motion and a second on resolution number 79. Approving the execution of a contract $50,000 with Creighton Manning Engineering, Department of Environment, for beneficial or for a transit electrification study. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Motion carries. Okay, do we have any new business? Laura already mentioned the open seat on the Recycling Oversight Committee. And one of those seats has to be from Energy and Environment. So
it happens that the other seat has to be from Public Works. So
yeah,
we're fortunate that we have somebody who's on both committees.
But I can't serve on both seats.
Right, you can't serve on both seats.
So is anyone willing? And if not, who was it?
It was Brian. I think it was Brian.
Brian Waltman. Okay.
When does that meet?
For recycling oversight.
Their next meeting, I believe, is
the
13th.
Oh, let me see.
Or the 10th.
I just
the
put 10th. It on my calendar.
I think it's the 10th. They need to meet once a quarter. They can meet more often, but they have to meet once a... They're required to meet once a quarter.
And this is not majority-minority. It's just who's willing. I would point out that it was Brian Moltman's seat. I don't know if that... I'm just fishing.
I'm on enough.
And I would also point out that Brian Waltman was from what is called minority. Another way of fishing.
No pressure.
None at all, because I can't make any more meetings. My wife is going to divorce me as it is.
Yeah. All right. Well, we will
point,
keep
I'm
working
really,
on that.
To be honest, it's just like... when do they meet? What's the meeting days?
Well, it's not... They're not... They're... We make appointments as need. We make meetings up as needed. The next meeting happens to be February 10th,
which is
next Monday.
And like the Solid Waste Planning Commission, they tend to meet more as needed than
okay.
They don't have a standard meeting night.
So if I can ask questions about it, fishing. What exactly is the purpose in there?
They make recommendations to the RRA about what items are going to be. We have a mandatory source separation law,
right.
And they make recommendations about what items should be separated and what kind of things we should be recycling. And if the RRA wants to recycle something, they can ask. You know, they want to make it part of this mandatory recycling, they can ask for, you have to, that committee has to approve it. And then they make recommendations to the legislature.
Is that like just a subcommittee of this one?
No.
No.
It's an advisory committee. I can send you the legislation that created it, so you can read exactly what their charge. It's on our website. Under the charter and the local laws, if you go to that Office 360, you can...
When the RRA when Ulster County first created mandatory source separation and recycling, there were six very distinct categories, but there were other things on the horizon. Like at that time, it was only office paper. Then that was expanded with recommendation from the Recycling Oversight Committee to include waste mail and magazines when that market became available. The waste stream has gotten much more complicated than it was, and the markets and, you know, things have changed a lot. But the idea was, rather than the RRA or the legislature determining what a mandatory recyclable would be. They would have a well-balanced representative group called the Recycling Oversight Committee that would weigh the pros and cons and make a recommendation. And that was why it was created.
And they meet on an as-needed basis. Are the meetings generally in the evening or during the day?
Generally in the evening. Laura chairs it, and she's just available.
You might want to go to the one on the 10th and see what it's like and find out how often.
And I'll send you the...
Send me the information. I'm not ruling it out. Let's put it that way.
Okay? Great.
She's such a gentle fisherwoman, isn't
she? Notice that smile. You kids like, oh, man, don't do that.
All right. Solid Waste Planning Commission will be reconstituted in March.
Even later this month.
Or later this month, that's right. And Climate Smart Committee is really growing. They're absolutely determined to try to get every single town, village, and city. The city is already very much a Climate Smart Committee, but we haven't made a lot of progress in recruiting, particularly, I think it's Marlboro, Lloyd, and Plattekill, and the 28 corridor. Most of the other municipalities have taken the pledge, Saugerties, town and village.
Already.
And has it already achieved a second status. I think it's bronze at this point.
Yes.
And mainly the Climate Smart Committee is, our mission is to make recommendations to the legislature and the executive branch about mitigating climate change and implementing climate solutions. And we've done that in many ways. Last year we held a refrigerant conference, a community choice aggregation, and so we do a lot of education based on what people need to know to advance those goals. And we now have somebody on, not on the official committee, which is five appointees, but in the group that meets regularly once a month with representatives from many of the towns. We have somebody who has taken it on as a mission to get to 100% and is partnering up and doing presentations and including Europa McGovern and Amanda in the work that she is doing. We had a question about a Facebook page and a logo, and the resolution from that group is rather than make it an official function of the Climate Smart Committee, it would just be an ad hoc group of people. They would monitor it, and it wouldn't be like the Ulster County Climate Smart Committee could choose to post to it, but it wouldn't be something that the staff had to monitor. We're in the process of reviewing the goals from last year and updating them. And off the top of my head, I don't remember what the key changes were, but by next month we will have that all mapped out and we'll present that to you. And within 24 hours of asking for this, Amanda presented us with a revised map for 2020. And I was just, very impressed with the responsiveness.
There were a lot of great conversations at NYSEC about climate smart communities and just climate in general.
I was on the Saugerties Climate Smart Committee initially when in the inception for the first year, and then I had to resigned from the committee just because of hours time. That was one particular committee that never stopped. I mean, I got to give the work they did in 1 year to become Climate Smart Community. They went from 0 to 100 in 2.3 seconds, and they did it by texting nonstop 24 hours a day to each other. No, I kid you not. It was constant every day. The meeting never ended. Like, we adjourned, went out the door, but phone blowing up. And that, honestly, that got to be too much for me because I had a lot of other obligations. That being said, I was under. I think it's an awesome thing, and if I had the time, I would jump on it. Unfortunately, I don't have the time, and I can't do it. I would like to help out when I can with it, but that also. My understanding, like with the town authorities, is when you become a climate smart community, it also opens you up for grants availability, which was awesome.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not sure how that plays out as far as the county. If we managed to get every single town as a climate smart community, which would be amazing, it'd be a climate smart county completely.
Yes.
Not just making the effort, but actually have it happen. I can only imagine the grants that would be available.
Is Ulster County, like, don't we have the highest climate smart
for the county, yes.
As a county.
No, I don't understand, but I mean to be committed and to be finished, to have every single town be certified climate smart town within Ulster County would be an amazing achievement. And if that were to happen, how much money? I mean, we're talking like, I know in individual towns it was like grants of like $500,000, like $500,000. As a county, I can only imagine what it should have been.
And I think some towns like Lloyd, they have I was down there and they have like a newsletter they're putting out. I think they're doing a lot of these things already. They're just not getting,
they're just not getting credit for it. And that's the
true.
Same thing with Sorgeys was doing. They were doing the same thing. I mean, they already had charging stations installed. They did, when they redid the
light
library,
upgrades.
The lighting upgrades. You know, there was a lot of things that they were already doing just because it was the right thing to do, you know?
Yeah.
And in turn, it's like, yeah, well, let's keep going. You know?
But that's what's nice about this your committee is that they network then, and then if a town has trouble saying, how do we meet this standard? It's like they have examples of towns that have been there, done that.
Yeah, it's really...
Sometimes it's just a matter of filing
the paperwork. Trying to think of the girl's name. She was from Cornell Cooperative that came to Sorgeys for a while and actually kicked it off. She's part of the City of Kingston's... Now she works for the City of Kingston.
Not Betta Broad or...
No, young girl.
Brenna Robinson.
Pardon me?
Brenna Robinson.
No, Brenna. She was she worked for Cornell Cooperative Pension. She's a grant writer now with the city.
Robinson. I know who you're talking about.
It's not Brenna.
And Amanda's just Laval.
It's a fabulous resource.
I'm just saying
she was of incredible enthusiasm at the town board meetings and stuff. And a conservation advisor. She's a grant writer, I think.
I can't think of what her name is now.
Kristen?
I'm not sure.
Kristen.
Something like that.
Kristen with a K, actually, it is. Kristen somebody or other.
The woman who's working on this with the Climate Smart Committee, her name is Kim Mayer, and she is, and her husband, Jason, is helping with the community choice aggregation. People were talking so much about community choice aggregation because I know Socrates is, and they were trying to learn from each other. It was dominating the Climate Smart Committee meetings, so we had a special meeting on that with guest speakers and so forth, and that is now sort of a working group that meets an hour before. And once they get their questions answered, they may dissolve, but the Climate Smart Committee, and there's always somebody to report. There is a need, this is a situation where Brian Waltman was there are five people that are appointed voting members, and everybody else is at large but doesn't have voting privileges. There's very rarely anything that we need to vote on, but there might be a formal recommendation either to the legislature or the executive branch that we would need to vote on. We need someone from Energy and Environment to replace Brian Waltman on that committee. Betta Broad is representing the municipalities. She's from Kingston. We need somebody to replace Ron Leonard, who was Trout Unlimited, which is an environmental organization. Cal Truman is representing the business sector, and then two legislators. And I'm on that committee from Public Works. It's the same thing, I
is
think.
It? I have to look it up. I
Public
just can't
Works
remember.
And Energy and Environment.
Once a month, the fourth Monday of the month, faithfully.
Fourth Monday.
Of what time?
Seven.
Yes. The
Community Choice Aggregation is meeting at 6. That's a little more informal. That's right. Just.
Yeah. You're thinking about it?
Yeah. I have choir practice that I'm missing right now. So they're going to boot me out of the choir if
is
I miss it.
Is it every Monday?
It's every Monday. Yeah.
Ah.
So. Gonna boot me.
Well, maybe we should move the.
Let me ponder it.
All right, so that's a need to fill, and I think that the only other thing I just want to vaguely mention is that I think we all got an invitation for that Dance Scammer open house meeting that they are holding. Needless to say, there are two sides to that story. It is fossil fuel infrastructure, and there are over 100 elected officials in the region that have signed a letter of opposition. There are, I think, 16 municipalities that have, including Beacon and Poughkeepsie.
I want to thank you, Madam Chairman. I want to thank you all for your vote, and I'll make you very proud of that vote. I promise you.
Okay. Thank you, Charlie.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Nice to see you again.
Thank you, Madam.
So, you know, I will probably be hearing from both sides. I certainly will be there. What is it? That one is the 6th. That's
during the day.
And I don't know if it was just Ulster County Legislature or Ulster County Electeds or the regional or.
My memory serves that letter was sent to the chairman, and he asked me to share it with the legislature.
Okay. So, you know, to be considered and discussed, it's an important issue. It is physically located in Orange County, but it involves the Marlboro School District, and it involves the Hudson River, and it involves climate change. So it's not new business per se yet, but I expect that sooner or later we'll be asked to make a decision about that as well. So just forecasting. And before we go, before we finally adjourn, I just want to ask if Evelyn has anything to add or if Dave has any comments from the EMC.
I don't have anything to add.
You're good.
Yeah.
The only thing, we continue to be in the loop on what's going on in Dan Scammer. Officially, we have one of the members on the board that has put our name on that, so each month we get an update on that. But the other thing that, and this doesn't have anything, I don't know if it's legislatively, because it's going to be a whole mobile town, like in the town of Kingston. There's an old quarry next to Lake Aniora.
Aniora Lake, the Route 28. Route 28,
yeah.
And then there's a pond there, and there's a bunch of wetlands, and it's surrounded now by public land with a lot of hiking trails, a lot of recreation, right? In that one quarter of that, they're talking about some sort of concrete fabrication.
Precast. They want to make bridges. They want to have steel and concrete building.
And there's some major environmental issues there. Like
we have somebody almost
said that they have to put some major driveway through it now, right through the wetlands to get into the property there. It's a real mess. But just make you aware.
Yeah.
We have people speak about this every legislative session. I think we're all pretty educated on it. And other than the role of the Ulster County Planning Department, I'm not sure what the legislature, you know, can do about it, but just keeping ourselves informed for now, there is a lot of work being done. There is one last thing I just want to mention, and that is I've been contacted by beekeepers. They contacted Assembly Member Cahill, and then their staff called me as well, about Ulster County does not use pesticides or herbicides for roadside spraying. That was a decision that we made probably a decade ago. And they do manual, cutting and vegetation removal where it's necessary, but you don't see a lot of dead roadside vegetation except on the state roads. And so the beekeeper, one of the beekeepers on Route 32, I think lost his hives. And there is a beekeeper association, and so I think we will be hearing about that. The gentleman sent me information, which I will forward to Fawn. I did already. And to share with this committee. And my question, since we have an attorney in the room, is I don't know what jurisdiction a county could possibly have over the state DOT. The only thing I could think of would be a memorializing resolution to our state elected officials to see if they can pass legislation to allow counties to opt out of spraying. You know, that was...
I think Central Hudson does it too, though.
And you can talk to Central Hudson and negotiate with them.
They do. Being around their poles, you'll see. That's where you see the kill.
And we've given permission to the Catskill Mountain Railroad also to spray in some areas along the corridor.
Right.
But
on a very restricted item by item.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Section by section basis.
And it's especially frustrating for people that have been doing all this pollinator plantings.
And have it destroyed.
Which we did resolutions to do more pollinator plantings.
Yeah.
And then...
So it's, go ahead.
With respect to any private business with Central Hudson or whoever else, we can legislate on that. If you say you don't like it, we can take care of that. I was shocked when I saw that email. The individual in question, who was from the town of Rosendale, sent his inquiry to Cahill's office. And the staff in Cahill's office forwarded it to us, I think it was to you directly, and suggested that we consider legislation relating to DOT. And I couldn't believe it. It was like, the answer to your question is, and I didn't research it, but I mean, we do not have jurisdiction over DOT, and I couldn't believe that a state assemblyman was essentially suggesting that the county legislature
do that.
Pass legislation.
Well, he passed legislation to the state
DOT
level.
But
yeah,
what I'm considering is something more aggressive than your thought is to do a memorializing resolution. What I thought about, and I haven't researched it yet, but I kind of like the idea, is a home rule message. Basically, send it back to them. Have the county adopt a home rule. Basically, what we'd be asking for is state legislation. It would be state legislation. Whoever regulating the people who would be legislating about DOT would be the state legislature, but it would be specific legislation for Ulster County. As many of you know, in general, in fact, the constitutional prohibitions on this, the state will not pass a law affecting an individual county or counties, a special law, unless that county asks for it in what's called a home rule message. And the beauty of this is that it would send it right back to Cahill's office. Right? It's your job. Here's what we want, but you can't do it. And, of course, it would send it to Jen Metzger. Right?
Yeah.
Who's both, may have a different approach on it, and also, for what it was worth, is specifically from the town of Rosendale. right? So that's what I thought, man, when I saw it.
Back on their lap.
But I would suggest, my suggestion is, but before we do that, the gentleman who sent the message was a beekeeper and is concerned, and I think that's obviously an issue that certainly gets our attention. I mean, this is a very important local issue with respect to our health, and not only our health, but our crops, right?
And we also passed the policy.
Food security.
Right.
Yeah.
So why don't we get the gentleman in here to explain what his problem is and listen real carefully, and if we're convinced by him and his problem and the threat, maybe we consider a home rule message and send it right up to the legislature. Obviously, we'll need to talk to our legislators.
Mm-hmm.
And then, it seems to me that's a more powerful response than a memorializing resolution. And
yes.
It doesn't get us into any jurisdictional problems because it'll be a legislative bill. And that's what I thought of when I first read the email today.
I didn't know that step because when you said home rule, I know that home rule allows us to do something that is, you know, more inclusive, stricter or more. But this is you're asking for a...
What you're talking about is... That's under our home rule authority. We can legislate like we did with the compost law or the wood.
Yes.
This is different. The way our state structure is that the state legislature is forbidden from passing legislation, let's say for Ulster County,
yes,
or Suffolk County, or Dutchess. They can't,
unless
like
we request,
but well, so to speak. But they will do it. In fact, there are times when Ulster County needs specific legislation that doesn't affect anybody. And the mechanism there is to get what's called a home rule message. There's two different mechanisms. One involves a legislative majority if the county executive will sign it. If the county executive is not interested, we would need two-thirds. This is all subject to be checked.
Okay.
The point is, this is the way we get the legislature to pass legislation specifically for this county.
Okay.
The beauty of it is state legislation. They're governing the DOT. It is their agency. But on the equities, it's very specific to what we do here in this county. We can get our public works, our highways to come in and say that this, we don't do it. We survive just fine without it here. We get our beekeepers in to say this threatens our apple crops or whatever, or public health, and we pack it together, send it up. And the other thing we could do, of course, if we, depending on how much time and work we want to do, is we could shop it around to other counties.
Are there any other collaborative regional thing? Yeah.
We just got the email today.
It'd be interesting to see if there's any model.
A home rule message is not just necessarily for one county. It could be for any number of counties. It's not the point. It's not the whole state or the whole state outside of New York City. So that was my first thought. Is a nice, elegant solution. Gets the state back on it. Puts it right back in Cahill's office. Gets Jen on it as well. But our stamp will be all over it. This legislature, we asked for it. We would have some hearings and listen to people. But it gets the people who are regulating DOT back considering what they're doing. But it would be only for it would be something where somebody from Buffalo would say we don't want it and something like that. That was my initial thought. If you want, I can look into it more, or we can get the
that would be awesome
and talk to us.
Yeah, I definitely would like, if it's not too much trouble, to have you look into it and do a memo.
I want to invite Chris, and also obviously we'd probably want to talk to leadership on something like this. If this would be a big step, we'd be essentially stepping
into
the state.
But you know, it's definitely going to come up. The beekeepers are very concerned,
and
anyone who takes the trouble to support our pollinators, deserves to be listened to.
Are you taking a stand on that?
There's a New York State law, neighbor notification law. I can't spray.
Yes.
I can't hire a commercial company to spray anything on my lawn, pesticides, herbicides, or without notifying any neighbors around that have asked to be notified. So I'm just surprised the state can do that without. If those neighbors along Route 32 all ask to be notified, why the state isn't required to notify them? Because people are. It's a state law.
The state law does not.
Yeah.
Unless they say DOT can't do this, it's
just.
The state law does not regulate.
But that may be a.
Unless they say so.
Yeah, the state law is specifically for.
Commercial applicators.
Yeah. That's right. So, and not DOT. So, had there.
It usually takes something like this, where there is a direct problem and you see the consequences, and in this case. So if you can do a little research and get back to us, and we'll figure out how we...
Well, either, no matter what the ultimate procedural resolution is, I think maybe of some value on the issue to get these gentlemen to come in and start and tell us what the problem is. You know,
I don't know whether it'll be him or one of the beekeepers, but you can see he's done some serious research. Can you just forward that to the...
Mm-hmm. I'll forward it to the committee.
Make a motion to adjourn?
Oh. Well, I would, except that I have a question. What happened to Resolution 37? Did that get... I don't see it on the list, but it's for the radio safety tower.
I'm sorry.
So it
did
referred to energy and environment and...
I apologize. I must have missed that.
What is the title?
It's declaring Mercer County's intent to act as lead agency under New York State Environmental Quality.
Wait one moment. Let me go print it, and I'll make you a goal sheet while you talk about it.
Okay, get it. Sorry, I apologize.
So that was in the list of all the resolutions.
I went through all the resolutions, and I saw it, and I just remembered, and then I looked, and it specifically was for our committee. So it's supposed to go to energy and environment, law enforcement, public safety, and public works and capital projects.
And can you just read what it is, and we can start discussing it?
Declaring Mercer County's intent to act as lead agency under New York State Environmental Quality Review Act, CEQA, for the construction of a public safety radio tower and to be located at 35 Quarry Road, Saugerties, New York, emergency communications, emergency management, which is going to be where the tire dump was.
That's right behind your house, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's why specifically.
Yeah.
Are you hearing this?
I did not.
We're missing a resolution, a secret resolution.
Mm-hmm. Resolution 37.
Okay.
For the tower.
Which
safety
tower?
Radio tower.
Go ahead.
On Quarry Road, where the tire dump was.
And I didn't prep on this one. I don't know anything.
Okay. Could you pass on the concern about that Laura and I have about whether or not there are air source heat pumps at the law enforcement center?
I'll ask about that.
Who handles that?
I've not heard about that before.
Who would pass the resolution? Would the administration would handle that?
Usually,
notices, et cetera?
There's at least one or two people from public works at the public works meetings. And the pattern last year was public works is on Wednesday.
It's resolution 37 for
energy and environment is on Thursday. So by Thursday, I knew what was going on with these. But now that it's in the opposite order, I'll try to be aware of what are essentially public works that are coming to us for whatever jurisdiction we have.
It happens.
But this never happened to me before, so I apologize.
Okay. So it's declaring Ulster County's intent to act as lead agency for CEQA for the construction of a public safety radio tower located on Quarry Road in Saugerties, emergency communications.
I'll move it.
All right, and keep track of that for Fawn.
Yeah.
Please. And the resolved intent to serve as lead agency has determined that the project is an unlisted action, and that as lead agency, the legislature will conduct a coordinated review and circulate a notice of intent as lead agency with an environmental assessment form accompanying documents, and resolve that at the conclusion an otherwise unchallenged 30-day period, following the date of transmittal, the notice of intent, the EAF, and documentation aforesaid to the interested agencies, the legislature shall become the lead agency under CEQA for this process.
And I'm a little confused why the legislature would be the lead agency. It seems to me this would typically be...
Also the planning board.
Typically, first of all, does everybody understand what that means?
I don't know what lead agency means.
Okay.
Does everyone know what SECRE is?
Yes.
Okay, in a SECRE review, which is an agency's review of a proposed action, and sometimes it's an approval like a town planning board, sometimes the agency actually does an action like building a road or a building or whatever. That's what this is. I assume this is the county building this.
Well, it sounds like emergency communication tower.
In many of these types of actions, there's more than one what's called involved agency. An involved agency is an agency that either funds the project, does the project itself, or approves the project. So, for example, if this was being built near a state wetland, DEC would be an involved agency. They'd have a permit that they have to issue, so they would get this to them. Or a town planning board is looking at a subdivision. It could be DEC, it could be DOT. There could be a bunch of different involved agencies. At the beginning of the SECRE process, one agency chooses to be the lead and sends out a document like this, this resolution we wrote, it's called a Notice of Intent to be Lead Agency. They send it to everybody else so that everybody's got a right to demand to be lead. But usually what happens is only one agency demands to be lead. That's the one that sends out the notice. And everybody has 30 days to object. And if nobody, that's what they said, if there was no objection or whatever that said, if there's no objection, then the agency that sent out the notice becomes the lead agency. The lead agency in a SECRE review, they're the ones that do, you may have heard, a NECDEC, POSDEC, mm-hmm. Declaration of Significance, which means either a NECDEC or an EIS. And their decision on the SECRE is final. The other agencies, once an agency becomes the lead and you're an involved agency, but you're not the lead, you have no jurisdiction over that SECRE determination. That's why you have to speak up now when that notice goes out within those 30 days, otherwise you lose it. Right. You can always comment, you can always give your analysis, but ultimately that lead agency makes the decision as to a declaration of significance. Mm-hmm. Here's a Manus question. At the county level, what typically happens, I've seen it in other counties, and I've seen it in this county during the period last year when we looked at these, what typically happens is that the county is considered a unified agency. It's not like there's two agencies. It's not like it's the Department of the Environment and the county legislature. It's considered the county is considered a unified agency. That's the way counties typically approach it. But there's a division of labor. And the division of labor is that the county legislature is the actual decision-making authority and the lead agency. We vote. The committee votes, and then ultimately the legislature votes. But what typically happens, that's what I was asking here, is that the administration does the work. So what happens is planning or environment, typically planning in our case, does the work. They produce all the documents and come in with the EAF, the environmental assessment form, and they come walking in here and they say, this is what we've done, now we want you to agree with us that, for example, it gets a negative declaration.
Yes.
So we'll send that out as a unified. There probably aren't any other involved agencies. Maybe the town planning board, if we expect to go before them. I'm not sure how that's another set of issues that I can explain, but that would be an example. But assuming that we're the lead, ultimately, probably whichever agency is actually doing this, I would assume it's either environment or public works or whoever, is actually going to do the assessment, fill out the EAF, do all the studies, then they're going to come back in this room. And they're going to say, this is what we've got. We're proposing a neg deck.
Looks like it's emergency management.
Okay, there you go.
And also, this property is the same place they're doing the solar farm.
Yeah.
By the way, if you remember last year, we saw that a couple of times when Chris came in, because they were doing the bike path, and he said, we've got this proposed neg deck. So they did all the work for us, including the EAF, and they came in and they said, we want you to recommend the neg deck.
Yeah.
Recommend it, and then ultimately the legislature does the neg deck. So it's a unified thing with the Division of Labor.
I just didn't realize that, you know, it just didn't sink in that the legislature was being lead agency. And I understand what lead agency is because my day job, you know, I've been working with that for years.
But that's why we vote on the fact that the legislature is the lead agency is why we vote on it. Otherwise, the county executive could just make the decision. We've done it. Get the county executive signs it, or Amanda signs it, and it's out the door. So we're the lead agency. That's what that is.
You're going to stay. Good. Yeah. So are you folks comfortable in taking action so we can move this forward? All right. Did you already?
We've been moved in second. Moro and Bruno.
And second. That's right. So we're taking a vote on resolution number 37, declaring Ulster County's intent to act as lead agency under New York State CEGRA for the construction of a public radio tower and appurtenances to be located at 35 Corey Road, Socrates, New York, Emergency Communications, Emergency Management. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The motion is carried.
I would just point out that when we do become lead agency on this particular type of a project, the one thing that I would advise the committee and the legislature are most concerned about, because you know, you'll ultimately have to certify whether or not this might have any significant adverse impacts, and if it does, you have to do an EIS. For the next decade, you got to certify there's no adverse impacts. And the one thing I would have my intent of, depending what they say, but the one thing I'm sure you want to think about is whether there's visual impacts. Mm. Depending on how the tower is, if it's anything close to 100 feet high or more, visual impact of something like that is always an issue. So we don't want to put them through the paces. Did you take pictures of it? Did you look at it? Things like that. When we get to that point, we'll discuss it.
I'm sure the town planning board and the county planning board and everybody and their brother is going to put
their
2 cents on.
But I'm almost surprised we also don't have the solar, like, doing it together. You know, doing right. the...
Is I know. Maybe is that a concrete proposal? Is it on paper that we need to
the executive, yeah.
Well, then, I mean, I'll throw one other thing at you. There is a seeker problem called segmentation, and within seeker, that's a no-no. In other words, if somebody wants to build a Target and they want to build a Walmart in their mall, you don't do a seeker on the Target and let them go ahead and do the site plan approval before the town planning board, and then. You know, 2 months later, come in with the Walmart. That's called segmentation. You can't look at it separately to avoid
doing
that.
I'm surprised it's not together.
If this is going to be a unified project, or at least the plans are in place, we may want. And we can look. We can, if that pops up, we can talk about it. But that's a no-no. Actually, Mary, you are allowed to segment, but there has to be a really strong justification for it. So again, if one of them is, we're not going to let them get away with saying, well, emergency management is doing one of them, and the Department of the Environment is doing the other one. We're going to want to make sure that...
But there may be, because it's emergency management, a time sensitivity versus the solar plant.
If there is a justification, then we can consider that. But that's, if you look at the SECA regulation, in the SECA regulations, in order to get segmentation done, doing it one, you know, in different pieces, they've got to come in and justify it. And when we get to that point, I'll bring in the regulations and we will walk you through that. That's where that would go, because we want the whole thing, the whole use of this land to be considered together, so the impacts don't get done piecemeal, because if one of them is not enough of an impact to do an EIS, and the other one's not enough of an impact to do an EIS, but together you'd want an EIS, just for example, traffic, just to take Target and Walmart, for example. You need those things added together, and that's why that's
has right. lead agency, shouldn't the resolution list the other...
Involved agencies.
Yeah. Involved. Yeah.
I can't speak to the resolution, but when who's ever going to do the work for us? That's my first question: is who does the staff work? I assume emergency management is going to do the staff work. They need to know who the involved agencies are, because they got to send that notice out.
It says the resolved in here says the Ulster County Legislature will conduct a coordinated review and circulate its notice of intent to serve as lead agency, together with environmental assessment forms and accompanying documentation to all interested and involved agencies for 2126.
Amanda's question is, doesn't have to say who the involved agencies are. And I would suggest you don't have to do that in the resolution, but if you want to know that before
that's
you pass the resolution,
yes,
that would be...
And who would we ask?
I'd get emergency management hearings. That's where that came from. I'd get them to...
It's going to Public Works, too.
Yeah. So I have two questions for Public Works. So I guess I should ask Nettie to give them a heads up on who are the involved agencies for resolution number 37. And then what was the other one that I asked Evelyn? About the air source heat pumps for the jail, for the law enforcement center. That way they have a heads up and they don't, you know, sometimes we discover these questions at the last minute and they're not ready with an answer, and then we have to have a special meeting immediately before, you know, like on night of caucus or night of session to just resolve it. So anything we can do to give them a heads up. And that's going to fall to us more and more just because of the scheduling if we're meeting on Monday nights. And I really should ask. I mean, I agreed. The chairman wanted to leave Thursday nights open so that, you know, there could be emergency meetings and whatever. And I was asked, but I want to just check with the committee, especially, you know, with your... Is the committee okay with, you know, this decision to meet Monday at 6:15 following?
I like it because
we're already here.
We're already here, yeah.
Already here too.
So. Yeah.
And to be honest, like I said, you weren't here before. Monday is my day off. So it's perfect. I can make it.
Okay.
If I'm working, it makes it more difficult to get here in a timely fashion. I'll still be here, but...
I just didn't want to be making a unilateral decision.
I think this is actually Monday is a, couldn't be any more perfect for me.
Also moving forward, I don't know if you saw the email today, but they're going to be holding a... all the committee chairs are going to have a meeting on the Thursday, so you can go over all the resolutions ahead of time. So if you have questions and have concerns...
Yes,
you can get them answered ahead of time. That's the purpose, to have a coordinated effort.
Well, I'm going to throw out a motion to adjourn.
I'll second that.
All right. All in favor?
Aye, aye, aye.
A motion adjourned at, goodness, I can't even see.
8:10.